Hello, and welcome to the Homeschooling and Loving It podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, your friend at homeschool.com and homeschool mom of six. Join us as we keep it real and chat about the ups and downs of this amazing adventure we call the homeschool life. So grab a cup of your warm favorite and a comfy chair and let's get started.
Hello, and welcome back to homeschool.com and the Homeschooling and Loving It podcast. Today, we have a special guest with us, and I'd like to introduce our listeners to Kimberly Langan. And in 1994, Kimberly began teaching the first cohort of Spirit of Math students in her very own home. She's been instrumental in putting together everything from the curriculum to teacher training programs. And before Spirit of Math, Kimberly worked as a teacher in public and private schools, and that we can relate to you with all of that because a lot of our staff, our team at homeschool.com were previous educators who are now homeschoolers. She was also the director of academics for the Bethany Hill School, and she has a Bachelor of Arts and an Honors Bachelor of Science, both from Queen's University, as well as a Bachelor of Education from the University of Toronto. In 2015, Kim was a finalist for Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year and Chatelaine Magazine's W100 list of top female entrepreneurs. So we want to welcome Kim today. So we're so glad you could be with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I love the homeschooling community. And in fact, I also, part of my bio is that I did a hybrid homeschooling with my kids as I was teaching. Yes.
Yes. Isn't it wonderful how flexible homeschooling can be? Just, you know, it's so many ways and so many options, and every single homeschool itself is so beautifully unique.
I agree.
Yes, ma'am. To our topic today, let's go ahead and jump into it because I know we're usually limited on time. I'm sure that many in our audience have found it difficult at times to challenge their high performing or gifted learners. And I know I had in my group of six children, I had one of those myself. So I'm looking forward to our chat today. And in our podcast today, Kim's going to help us understand this, and she's going to help us target some practical strategies that we can actually take with us and implement in our homeschool to help our high-performing students stay engaged and motivated. So, Kim, can you start by telling us how you got into this particular niche?
Okay, great question. In fact, my father was teaching mathematics in a grade 7, 8, 9 middle school. And what he found was that he had gone completely away from the regular curriculum. And yet his students were the top in the country for 13 years in the contest, in the Waterloo contest, without him teaching to a contest. So what he had done is he had created something in which the kids had developed the skill sets that were required, the automaticity and fluency of number facts, and also the problem solving and reasoning that was required to be able to get to that level. My mother, who was also an educator, she was brilliant. She was actually the really brilliant one for the younger kids. She had she really liked her history and sociology, and she actually was not a math person, but she used the same sort of concepts that my father had in the same program and had the same results. So there's something going on here, and that's when I happened to be teaching high school maths and sciences at this point. My husband was in the military, and I needed a job where I could do something at that point to, so that I was keeping busy. And so then I realized what was happening, and I went and watched these kids that my father had been teaching. And I realized that they were very, very different. They were thinking differently. They weren't, when a question was given to them, they weren't first going to the calculator and trying to just punch that in. They weren't also asking, well, what do I do? They actually would be quiet. They would be putting something down on paper first, and then they would talk to one another, and then they would use a calculator. So they were thinking differently. And the way I would describe it is they aren't just doing math, they were thinking mathematically. And to me, that was huge. And that's when I said, you know what, we've got to do something with this, and I'd love to take this further. My father had retired by this point, and a handful of students themselves said, can we continue something? So that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to take these ideas, start in the basement of my home, and grew the classes from about 30 students to 80 in the first year. And then it just kept growing from there because everyone was really interested in the type of thinking that was happening. And I just saw how powerful it was for the kids. So, I mean, there's my passion. It was really to release their genius and by thinking differently, not just doing the math. So that's why I've just been working at this since 1994 and making it as available to as many kids as possible.
Wow, that's a lovely story. I really enjoyed that, especially the fact that you were able to continue on in your parents' legacy to somewhat. That's amazing.
Yes, isn't that fun?
It is, absolutely. So, a question that I have just as a homeschool mom, as I was listening to your conversation, is this different method that you're discussing, is that typically geared toward the high performing student or the gifted learner, or is this something that could be useful across all types of learners?
It's definitely useful across all types of learners. Spirit of Math itself, I decided to focus on the high performing student because they have very different needs, and our content and our material is for those students who are looking for something more. So, but our basic premise, if I go back for a second, then I can explain why there's a difference for the high performing. The basic premise in all our mathematics teaching and in our courses and our programming is that there has to be four different elements in a good mathematical program. And the first element would be some type of drill to build an automaticity and fluency of number facts. It's just like if you were to read the letters TH and E together, you know automatically that's the word the. That's the automaticity in reading. All right. And then once you have the automaticity in reading, you can go to the ideas in the reading that you're reading, like in the work that you're reading. Okay. In mathematics, if you don't have the automaticity that 4 times 3 is 12, and you're not without even thinking about it, it's really hard to enter into the mathematics and to do the mathematical thinking. Otherwise, kids will just do math to do math. So we have our unique drills, which actually develop the kids' automaticity and with number facts. And I really encourage you all to do something as soon as you can to make sure that automaticity is there. They know when to use a calculator. This is not to replace a calculator. It's just that they will know when, and it allows them to free up to do the mathematics. Our second element, so that's our first element. Our second element is the core content. And the core content is what most people will call just the topics of mathematics. And the core content for us, we do a spiral for the younger grades up to grade 4. And that allows you to come back, revisit the same content, and incrementally build it up. So the kids aren't feeling like, whoa, this is a lot. And you take shorter times to cover the material. From grade 5 and up, what we find is that we can actually go really deep and broad with the kids, and we build on the foundation. And I call that sort of a foundational developmental process to go forward. And because we're working with high-performing students, we're able to go really deep, and then we expect them to sort of use that for the next unit. So we've got the drills, we've got the core. The second thing that should be happening in all classes, I believe, in all mathematics classes, is problem solving. And don't do a problem just to do a problem. Have a reason to do it. And that reason should be that you're building their logic from a young age. So you can start with something very simple, and then you add it on every year going up. And when you add it on going up the years, then you've You can develop different types of skill sets. So it's not just only the mathematics, but it's the way to think through, how to reason through a question, how to stick to it, how to have that grit, that persistence, that discipline. So you pick the programs and the questions so that you can develop that year after year. Okay. And the fourth component, the last component that should be in every mathematics class is collaborative group work of some type. Even if it's a parent working with a child. And the reason for the collaborative group work really is to have that thinking process elevated to a whole new level. It's also to bring in new ideas. So often with parents, what I'll say to them is, go through as if you're another student. Ask the questions out loud. Say your thinking and your reasoning out loud so they can hear that reasoning and thinking. If there's other kids around, it's important that they hear their reasoning and thinking too, because if they are hearing other people's thinking and reasoning, that's when they start to fix their own, because then they have to start saying it out loud too. And if it's not making sense to other people, they will let them know. And that's when you've got your reasoning being fixed, you go to a different level of reasoning and logic. And you also therefore will stretch yourself, but you also learn a huge amount more rather than just waiting to be told what to do. So that whole ownership, and I know for homeschoolers, ownership of your material is huge. It's a huge component, and most homeschoolers are really concerned about that. So we feel that's important, those four elements. It's not just about doing some math in a textbook.
Right,
Okay.
absolutely. I loved how you broke that into those four steps. And I understood that there were those different components needed to be involved in math, but I never thought of them sequentially as you laid them out.
Ah,
Very
yes.
helpful. That was very helpful. I have another question for you. So I mean, as we're talking through this, and I know that you had mentioned that you did target the high performing learner or the gifted learner. Can you elaborate? I know you mentioned that they think differently. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit and how you view how they think?
Yeah, for sure. First thing is, there is a difference between high performing and gifted. And I'm just going to differentiate that very quickly so that you understand what I'm talking about. The way that I think of giftedness is that came from the education field when they found that there's all these kids who needed more than what the curriculum was offering. So they came up with this term giftedness, and it started with by just an IQ test, basically. So then in order to be into a gifted program, you had to qualify by being in the top 2 or 4 or 5%, depending on what the school division was asking for. So a high performer, on the other hand, is a highly motivated student. Some high performers are gifted, some are not. Okay, but what's really important is a highly motivated, in other words, a high performing student can outperform a gifted, non-motivated student. Okay, and the other ideas that's come out more recently is that IQ isn't fixed. It actually changes. It can go up or it can go down. So, to put that label on just because of IQ, people have realized, there's more to this. And so, this is why we say we're for high performing students, not just gifted. And in fact, many of our non-classified gifted kids outperform those gifted kids. We've seen it over and over again. So, with that in mind, now to go back to that, sorry.
Right.
What are some of the things that we do? First of all, the thinking skills for these kids. Oftentimes, they're looking for something much more deeper. So, if we go back and we look at the basic logic for reasoning, when you start, the basic, most basic logic is I've got one thing or I have something else. And they're disjoint. And a student will then just work on something and they won't see the connection to something else. And oftentimes, textbooks will only give a question that is very simple. You've got this, and they go into the next question, you've got this, and there's no relationship between the two. So the kids aren't seeing that relationship. These are textbooks that had a lot of the same types of questions over and over and over again. That basic type of question is fine for kids who need to have that consolidation over and over again. It is frustrating for kids who are requiring more. The second level of logic is if I've got this and I've got this, or if this, then this. So it's a two-step. And the third level is a series, which is going, if I've got this, then this, then this. So it is like at least three steps. And high performing, gifted kids who are looking for more and want the richness of questions are looking for at least those three steps. And they're looking, well, if I've got this, then I want this, and then I've got this. So they're looking for higher quality types of questions because they are literally thinking differently than other people. So there's something inside them saying, I need more. And that's why you need to have them with other kids who are thinking like them, who want more, who will challenge their thinking, and who want to go deeper with the ideas. Whereas some of the other ones, they don't care how deep you go. They just want to know how to do something. All right.
Yes, I understand that. So, with that in mind, and the fact that a lot of homeschool families maybe just have one or two children, so is there a way that the parent can provide that, as you just mentioned, like that companionship thinking that they work off of each other and challenge each other in those three steps or more type of logic? Is there a way that the parent can use certain strategies to help their children in that way?
Well, I think the first thing is get quality questions so that you can have that conversation. If you don't have the quality questions, you're going to have a really hard time having those conversations because there isn't really much to talk about. Okay. So, but many people don't really think about that because they're trying to come up with things. And kids, very bright kids too, see behind that and they kind of go, well, why are you even asking me these things? Really? Is that important? Okay. So, quality questions. A lot of contests have some really nice quality questions. You can download a lot free now, and they will bring in and look at the solutions. So, as a parent, look at the solutions first. Don't share that with the kids necessarily to begin with, and get them to sort it out with you. The other thing is to remember is that high performing kids and bright kids still need that opportunity to be challenged, and they must reason through things. Often they don't have that opportunity because things are so easy. So give them something that has several steps in it, not just a final, quick, final answer. The reason why they need to reason through things too is this is how they build their confidence. They need to learn how to fail as well, by the way. Okay, it's okay to fail. They have to learn how to pick themselves up. And often these kids haven't had that opportunity. And so they have a really hard time. This is what we find when they come to Spirit of Math. They're kind of like, what do I do? I don't know how to do this, or I didn't get it right away. And it's like, that's okay. And then they start realizing it is okay, and I'm okay. And so I'm now ready to take risk. And when they're ready to take risk, now you have more, you have deeper conversations. And so what I say is it's not as simple as what does this conversation look like? It's also strategically allowing them that opportunity to maybe not succeed as quickly as they thought they would. They will eventually succeed, but it's, you know, and then during that conversation, that's when the conversations start coming, and that's when it becomes really interesting.
Amazing. Okay, so I'm learning so much. This is really good stuff. I appreciate it. Okay, so as the parents are working with their children in these ways that you've just mentioned, how can the parent assess or understand and know, is, you know, for example, if the parent isn't prone to thinking in these ways themselves. I'm trying to say that properly, if you know
That's
what
fine. That's fine.
I mean. So, for example, if the parent is trying to meet the needs of their child in this way, but it doesn't come naturally to them. And maybe they don't really understand it themselves, and they're learning, but they're trying to do the best for their child. How can they assess or understand if their child is making progress and if they are meeting their needs as they should?
I think it's the kind of questions that the kids are asking the parents will give you an indicator. That's a huge one. Okay. So listen to what they're asking you. And if they're deeper questions, and then great. Yeah. You've got them thinking in the right direction. Okay. They may not be thinking of like everything, and you won't either think of everything. This is why, actually, even within Spirit of Math, you know, our teachers, when they first start teaching, they don't even know really. And this is why we've got the content that we do, so that they follow through with it and they've got the questions. But it's also why it's so important to try and find other kids like them, because those other kids will ask the questions if they didn't ask the questions. Then they'll start to hear about, oh, I could be thinking about this. Didn't even think of that. Okay, and you probably haven't either. And they've gone through all your thinking, okay? Because they're really fast. And you know, it's one of the things I tell people too is don't be scared if the kids are faster learners than you are, or they're thinking of things quite a bit higher than you. They probably will. And you've got to be able to take a step back and go, great, but find other kids who are like them, please, if you can. That's the biggest thing I can suggest, because it is hard for a parent to figure this out. Even for teachers, they don't necessarily know how these kids will think and how to challenge them. It is tough. And many people will say, well, they're the easiest kids to teach. Actually, no. I would say they're some of the hardest kids to teach because of your question. What do we do with them? And how do we know? Like, I don't know if I've challenged them enough. Right. And it is difficult. This is actually why, too, and I'm not trying to pitch Spirit of Math here right now. All I'm saying is that often we get homeschooling kids come to Spirit of Math because it's a different sort of format where they're with other kids who are coming just once a week to do their class, and they get to hear all the things that are happening. This is why I decided not to do tutoring. It's because it's the power of the kids. They actually say a lot. They bring a depth to the conversation that often we don't even think about. In fact, even a lot of our problem solving and the solutions to the problems that we have come from some of the brightest minds in the world now, because they've grown up and they're adults now. And we've taken their thinking and written those as the solutions for our younger kids. When I say younger, grade 8 and below, and they use the thinking without algebra, and they're able to solve math problems, math, using math logic and mathematical thinking that we wouldn't have even thought about as adults. So right. There's a huge resources out there. Get, you know, just to have the kids read through solutions to math problems. How did they come up with that? That's interesting. Why would they have done that way? And those are simple questions you can ask for the kids. Why would they have solved it this way? Is there another way to solve it? Okay.
I love that. It actually, I know we need to wrap up here in a minute, but it actually reminded me of a class that I took in college, and I had a Korean professor, and I was solving a college calculus class. I was solving a problem, and I did it in an alternative method from what he had taught, and he actually marked it wrong. It had the right answer, and I had just a different process. So this, I'm not saying that I'm gifted or even high performing, but I know in that one situation, everything that you were just talking about just really resonated with me, because, you know, that's that's been 25, 30 years ago, but it still rankles, you know, that
Yeah,
day.
for
And
sure.
that, you know, in truth, that's probably how these children are feeling, that, you know, wait, you're just not understanding that I came to this problem in a different way, but it wasn't wrong. It was just different. So that I really appreciated what you said about that. Okay, so I want to know a little bit more about how homeschoolers can get involved with your Spirit of Math program and how that can help. You know, how does it work? How do our homeschool children fit into it? How, you know, how can we get involved? And just tell
Sure.
us more about it.
Okay. So basically, first thing I want to say is that most kids, when they're very young, are high performing and they're really motivated and they can be high performing. And so we find that if we can start with kids who are young, you can do a huge amount with them. So don't just like classify, and we want to make sure that we're not just putting kids into boxes. Okay. And that may be a little hard for some people to understand, but I think the reason why people do homeschooling is because they haven't boxed their kids in to a box. So what happens is that we have classes once a week, which kids attend, and it's the same class for a whole school year. So it's 39 weeks of classes that the kids attend, and it's an hour and a half class up to grade 8, and it's a 2 hour class after that. They attend with the same kids, so that they are developing the relationships with the same kids. They're able to take more risk and so on. And it's the same teacher for the whole year. And we have many campuses in Canada and Toronto area. And we also have online campus. And so many homeschoolers who are not in the area where we have our in-person classes, they attend online. And so they basically, if their class is on Tuesday nights at 4:30 and Tuesday at 4:30, they click into the online class and they attend with all their students and the teacher who's there. During the week, if they have any questions, the teacher's available to help them. And there's also Brightspace. We use Brightspace as an online medium too, so that the kids can submit their work there and also see videos. If they didn't understand something during class time, they can go and watch those videos. So it gives an opportunity for like homeschoolers at least to join a class that is a unique class just focused on this one topic. And they are going to go deeper in the mathematics, be able to be exposed to ideas that they wouldn't necessarily have seen, or even parents know how to provide that. It's a unique opportunity too, because most of the kids are really keen about math and the parents are keen about math. So it's a really positive experience. The other ways to get involved too is that we do have some books which you can purchase. So we've got our drill book system, and we also have our math problem of the day books, which are called our MPOD books. And that helps take you through the different types of logic from a young age, grade one, all the way up to, I think I did it up to grade eight. No, grade six is what I went up to. And also, we're in the midst of finishing off developing a drill app. And those are all the ways that you can come, be part of us, and just look us up at spiritofmath.com and you'll see all the different things too. And thank you so much. I hope everyone got at least one or two ideas.
Yes, I think so. I think so. I know I did. And I want to encourage our listeners to please visit Spirit of Math, as she mentioned, the website, and we'll have all this information and the notes that I've taken following the podcast on our website. Special thanks to our community for joining us today. And here's to homeschooling and loving it.